The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that it is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end will not follow immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare for your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You're welcome to be seated. I have to say I'm impressed with them because there was a good group this morning. Now, next year, we'll have to see if we have any visitors on Stewardship Sunday. I served in a congregation where they did this every year, and I didn't realize that the senior pastor, it was her tradition to do this. And I thought it was so bizarre that on Stewardship Sunday, suddenly there were 30 kids up front with Carol as she was doing this. And right away when she asked for volunteers, hands shot up because she would start high and go low for the most part. A fun way to think about stewardship, but I will give you a break from thinking too much about it. After our gospel text this morning, I found myself wondering, is this your favorite text, any of you? Any of you point to Luke's 21st chapter and say, this is the one, I like this chapter? Well, again, speaking to his disciples, Jesus increases the volume of his critique on the temple. And I think we should listen carefully because by some measurement, we are inside a temple right now. The church. Considering what Jesus says about the temple being destroyed, we might say that Jesus has turned the volume all the way up on his critique of the temple. And not surprisingly, the disciples want to know when the temple will be destroyed. And so Jesus launches into a long and at sometimes really challenging speech about what we often refer to as the end times. What I hear Jesus saying here is, it might get pretty bad for you. In Luke's gospel, Jesus' ministry and the events it describes are actually considered the fulfillment of history. So that end times language was very much an expected part of discourse. In order to make sense of what Jesus is saying in this scene, it helps us to know a couple things about what scholars call apocalyptic literature, of which this passage is a very good example. First, apocalyptic, from the Greek for revelation or something being torn aside, is usually written during crisis in order to help its original audience make sense of very difficult experiences. In this case, the crisis is the aftermath of the Roman destruction of the temple, an event that transformed both Judaism and early Christianity. The second thing to keep in mind is that apocalyptic writing presumes that there are always two layers to reality, the material and the spiritual. Not only that, these two realities are linked together as our material and our physical existence mirrors the larger reality of the heavens, and in particular, the ongoing conflict between good and evil. There will always be good and evil. There will always be difficulty. If you have struggles in your life, you are in the right place. The church is where those of us who have muddled through life, it's where we go and are gathered to support one another and to lift one another up. It is where we come to hear a good word, to be reminded of the gospel, of God's love for us. Given that all three Gospels of Luke, Matthew, and Mark include sections like this one that we're reading, it's likely that some of the apocalyptic stories regarding Jesus' return and emphasizing his role to bring history to its finality were part of the earliest Christian traditions. But each Gospel treats the material just slightly differently. Luke, for instance, wants to make sure that his Christian community hears two things in particular. First, he wants them to know it's not as bad as it looks, and therefore they shouldn't be too quick to follow preachers of doom and gloom. Second, Luke wants them to hear Jesus' promise that when struggles do come, there are opportunities for witness, and that Jesus himself will help them find words to give testimony to their faith. Again, I hear Jesus saying, it might get pretty bad for you, but even so, things are not as bad as they look. The challenges coming our way are opportunities, and God will help us to make the most of them. Not bad words for the original disciples and Luke's community to hear, and when you think about it, they're not bad words for us to hear either. The people to whom Jesus was talking were holding on to the temple. In fact, it's likely that the Gospel of Luke was written down around the year 90, which would have been 20 years after that temple was destroyed. I suppose one of the most similar experiences we might hold in such regard would be the events of September 11th, 2001, when the World Trade Center collapsed. Think of how the world changed for us after those events. Here we are, almost 20 years later, similar to the distance between the destruction of the temple and Luke's writing. For some of us, perhaps, life since 2001 has gone mostly back to normal, and it helps to hear promising and faithful words about our situation. But we have to remember, too, that so many, including all of the little ones that were up here before, for them that didn't happen in the span of their lifetime. It was before. Now we have to think about those people back after the destruction of the temple, in particular in the year 90. Remember, Jesus died somewhere in the 30s. It's been about 60 years at this point since his death, and so maybe the very last remnant of those who were living when Jesus was among us are starting to die off. People are getting nervous. I thought the end was coming. Why hasn't Jesus returned? It didn't go exactly as they had planned. And so it goes for us as well. Buildings will tumble and fall. There will be destruction, if not by human hands, then by weather systems, forest fires, illness. When we hear Jesus saying, it might get pretty bad for you, the question we must ask ourselves is, what do we cling to? And it is not a building that we cling to. We cling to the promise of God made manifest and known in Christ Jesus. Humans have a tendency to cling to things that we can see, things we can touch, we can feel, we can hold on to. And indeed, sometimes that is a building, just like the temple was. And sometimes you and I might come into a building such as this one for worship, and we might think or feel that this is a piece of God that we can hold on to. But God's church is not made of brick and mortar. It is not full of carpet and tile and walls. God's church lives in God's people. When we hear Jesus saying, "It might get pretty bad for you," we also hear Jesus saying, "By your endurance, you will gain your souls." We may go through a lot in these lives that we live, but through it all, God is indeed with us. I have to point out that as a young person, I assumed that church was the place that happy people went to celebrate how God has blessed them. Any of you think that way? I felt a little better about myself after about 5 years into ministry, going through a course where it actually turns out they surveyed people who had grown up in the church, and not just Lutheran churches, but Baptists, all sorts of Christian denominations. And indeed, one thing that kept people away from coming back to church was that they didn't think they were good enough anymore. They thought that they had stumbled or sinned in ways that prevented them from coming to such a holy place. I have to tell you, as I've grown in faith and in years and in those moments where, as a pastor, I've been invited into people's lives in a deeper way than usual, I have learned that the people that gather at church are often those who have struggled their way through life in one way or another. We all have different struggles, but we gather together in this place for support and care, to seek out others who we can help and who can help us. Because God provides for us not by magical gifts, but putting people in our lives who can be with us on the journey. We are part of a long tradition of recognizing that life is not all sunshine and butterflies. We understand, or we try to understand, how we can endure in the midst of sighs too deep for words, and indeed how we can celebrate together in those moments that are pure joy. It's a both and. God holds each and every one of us in God's loving arms. Today, I gather us together in prayer, hoping that we can open our eyes to God's reality beyond our own. Lord God, remind us that in the challenges and struggles of the day, there are always opportunities to speak good words and to do good things and to witness to our faith. Remind us that you will be with us to help us to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen.